Good morning, church. Let's rise to our feet. Let's worship today. Come on, put your hands together.
And I saw Satan fall like lightning. And I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. And I believe in signs and wonders. And I have resurrection power. And still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise belongs to you forever.
Come on, sing this out.
This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony.
Come on, sing this out with me.
Come together, sons and daughters, bow with blood and washing water, and sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Oh, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony, this is my testimony.
Oh. You got a testimony, would you just sing this out? Come on. Sing this with me.
If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done. Greater things are still to come. Oh, I believe. This is my testimony from death to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. This is my testimony from death to life. Grace rewrote my story, I'll testify.
By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified.
This is my testimony, this is my testimony.
Come on, give him a hand clap of praise today. He's been faithful, he's been good.
Romans chapter 5, starting with verse 6, it says, when we were utterly helpless, at just the right time, Christ died for us sinners. Can I get an amen in this place? We serve an on-time God. He is always on time, and He is always rescuing us, not just at salvation, but when we run into trouble. Psalm 91, it ends with the Lord saying, I will rescue those who love me. I will protect those who call upon my name. So this next song is going to be new for you, but it's called Always On Time. He is always on time. It may not feel like that to us. Or maybe right now you're going through the depths of a deep valley, or you feel like you're drowning in some water. But I promise you, the Lord sees you, and He is on time, and He is ready to rescue you. We just have to call upon Him. So we can sing this song in faith today, reminding ourselves that our God is on His way and He is ready to rescue us. Can I get an amen in this place? Amen.
I
how you provided, and how you held me through the night. And I remember how you sustained me when you stepped in to save my life. And if I knew then what I know now, I would be still and let you work it out. Jesus, I was tossed in the water. You were always, always, always on time. Yes, you were always, always, always on time. Yes, I remember how you carried when I couldn't take a step. Jesus, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under, 'cause you were always on time. Jesus, and when I went through the fire, you were right there beside me, 'cause you were always on time.
Never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. Never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. So I'm worshiping you. There's never been a day, never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. Never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. So I worship you. You didn't see me through, God. So I worship you. Sing it. There's never been a day, there's never been a minute, never been a moment that you weren't in it. Never been a time that you didn't see me through, God. So I worship you. truth, we worship you.
Always on time.
Sing Jesus, Jesus. Yes, I was tossed in the water, but I never went under. You always on time. Yes, Jesus. And when I went through the fire, you were right there beside me. 'Cause you always on time. Oh, just thank him in this place this morning. Oh, faithful, faithful God. We stand on your name. We stand on your name, Jesus.
Oh,
hallelujah. Thank you,
Jesus.
Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Because I know
He holds the future. Lord. Let's lift up our praise to the one who is alive today in our hearts in this place, the Lord Jesus. You're alive, Jesus. You're alive. You are alive, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We bless you. We praise you. We worship you this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, all over the room, let's express our confidence in the Lord today. He's alive. We don't have to be afraid today. Our Lord is alive. Our Savior is alive today. He is on the throne. He is an on-time God. He sees us. He knows us. He loves us today. He is working even now. He is moving even now in our midst in this place. Thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Come on, just express your confidence in the Lord. Lay aside every fear. Lay aside every worry today in the presence of the Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to us. You never leave us. You never forsake us, Lord. You're with us to the very end of the age and beyond, O Lord. Thank you for the promise of your presence, Lord. Thank you that right now in this sanctuary, as we've gathered together in the name of Jesus, your presence is here mightily, O Lord, to give us a peace that surpasses understanding today. To work, Lord, powerfully in our hearts and in our lives, even in our physical bodies right now, Lord God. You're our healer. You're our strength giver. We declare that those who hope and wait and trust in you will renew their strength. They will be renewed like the eagle. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not be faint. We can live today, Lord, without fear, because we know you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. 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 Just let the peace of God. I want to wait just another minute. Just let the peace of God just settle down into your spirit right now. The Lord is here. Just let that peace of God settle right down upon you, down into your spirit this morning. Thank you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Oh, yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I can face tomorrow.
Together in prayer. We go to the Lord knowing and understanding today that we are praying to a living Lord, to a mighty God. He is on the throne. He is watching over us even now. He is our Heavenly Father. He's the Lord, our Shepherd, who watches over and protects us and keeps us and supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. Think about that. So we're well covered today with the presence and the provision of the Lord. I see some of the Martinez family up there who said goodbye to grandma, to mom this week in Oklahoma. We pray the Lord would comfort you all, give you his peace and his strength in the midst of this. I see you, Brian, up there. Maybe some of the other families coming later. Pray the Lord would just supply everything you need. Al, I see you right here. Said goodbye to Sweet Grace and a precious service yesterday in honor of her life. We're so grateful today for the promise of heaven, aren't we? The promise of eternal life to those who trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. I'm so glad. I've said it 1,000 times in services and at funerals. I'm so glad that to be absent from the body for the child of God is to be at home with the Lord. No space in between. We say goodbye here. Heaven has already shouted a glad hello. We're so glad for that. We pray the Lord comforts you, Brother Al. And those of you here today with other needs, we just pray that the Lord will satisfy your heart today. I pray today that God will grant you the desires of your heart today, that you would just turn your heart toward the Lord. He would satisfy your inmost being today with his presence and his love and his power, and would meet all of the other needs in your life. Father God, thank you. We trust in you. We know that you hear us today. We call upon you, Lord, to meet us at our point of need. We thank you that you're going to be faithful. We pray, Lord, for your continued blessing and presence to mark this service today as we continue to worship you, call upon your mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for that name of Jesus that's high and lifted up even in this house today. We bless you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I could just sit right here for a long time today, couldn't you? The presence of the Lord is so wonderful today. We're so grateful. Take a moment before you're seated, please, to reach out and greet one another and just welcome everybody to church today, please. God bless you. Pastor Bob is up next, but he is gone. Gone, gone. Can you believe it? Bob was ready for the rapture and all of us got left behind. Can you believe that? I don't believe it for a moment, do you? No. Well, we're very delighted today to welcome some longtime friends to the First Assembly family and longtime Assemblies of God missionaries to Indonesia. Jan and Iris Hurst are here today. How many of you have been blessed by the preaching ministry of Brother Randy Hurst down through the years? Yes, Randy has been such a blessing to us. This is Randy's little brother, Jan, and his wife Iris, and they're here today, and they're coming to share with us about their ministry. Come on, if you would, please. And let's see, I've lost the microphone because... There. Thank you, Pastor Malachi.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, love you. Good morning. Oh, one more time. Good morning.
Good morning.
Praise God. That sounds excellent. It's just such a joy and privilege to be back with you folks. We love you so much, and we've been part of your family, whether you know it or not, for years. And we just thank you for being partners with us for all these years and the amazing things God has been doing. It's a joy, especially for me, to have my wife Iris with me this morning. Babe, could you just stand briefly? She's not always able to travel with me, but she's definitely my better half. And she's not only prettier than me, she's definitely smarter than I am. Let's just say she graduated summa cum laude, and I just graduated thank you laude. You know, it was one of those things. And so God knew what I needed. So praise the Lord. She's a partner with me daily in our daily global ministry. She's a gifted writer, and we write and run our global ministry, and so it's just a joy for us to be here, and we thank you for helping us keep up with the open doors that God continues to open graciously to our ministry. Now, our ministry is actually reaching multitudes of people every day, working with national churches in 42 countries and 19 languages. God is opening doors that have never been opened before, tools that are available. How many know the hour is short?
Yes.
God is always on time. Aren't you glad he was on time for you? But there are still several billion waiting for him to be on time for them. And he's counting on us to get there in time. Amen?
Amen.
And he is making ways for us to spread the seed of the gospel, to proclaim the gospel to them in time before we run out. And how many know this time is short? Well, we praise God. We have a ministry we work with. We write daily messages for non-believers, evangelistic messages that are used around the world. We're on the radio ourselves, but we work mostly with, and not just radio, but many other mediums. We work with pastors and executive AG leaders around the world who take our messages, preach them, translate them, contextualize them, and they are reaching millions every day, connecting them to local churches in those countries. 42 countries and 19 languages on every continent. We never dreamed that God would open doors like this. Mm-hmm. How many know it has nothing to do with us? It has to do with the time that we are living in.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you for enabling us to keep up with those opportunities and those tools to reach these people in time. We work with both national churches and leaders, and there's so many testimonies we could share with you this morning. I'll tell you about a pastor in Sri Lanka. Pastor Dishan Wickramaratne, he's the assistant general superintendent, pastors the largest church there, a church of about 8,000. He has been now for years using our daily program. He's on the radio 5 times a day on 3 stations in English and Sinhalese, reaching 2 million people a day, drawing them to their local church. They have 100,000 people on text messages that they're reaching. How many know we have to multiply the message? Proclaim Jesus to people outside the church.
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Yes.
God doesn't tell the world to go to church. He tells the church to go to the world.
That's good.
Are you with me?
Mm-hmm.
And God is using this ministry with partners in these countries that are taking our messages and multiplying them to literally millions every day. That's just one country out of 42 countries. And many are coming to his church now as a result of his daily program and outreach in that country. On the other side of the world, in the South Pacific, our ministry is used there. And there's a pastor in an island country. He believes that this ministry is reaching more people in the South Pacific region daily than any other ministry. Because it's God that's doing these things. It has nothing to do with us. We just obey. How many know the definition of success? It's one word. Obedience. When God tells you to do something, you obey. You can't get more successful than that. Each of us obey our assignment. Amen?
Amen.
You have an assignment here. We have an assignment there. And as we all obey, we will be successful for eternity in his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
So many other stories we could tell you. 5 years ago, we went to Indonesia. We had been based in Springfield. Our executive leaders had us transfer there so we could go globally. We went back to Indonesia after being gone for many years. And we had local ministry while we also ran our global ministry. And God opened doors. And we helped pastor an international church there and preached regularly. That church in the last 3 years has grown from about 500 to 1,500 in 3 years. Friends, God is moving. God is working in this hour. My wife, Iris, started an outreach to women there. And she was planning on reaching Indonesians, which she did. But many mainland Chinese ended up coming to her through a long story I can't tell you. She discipled them. She evangelized them. They came to the Lord. Their lives completely changed and transformed. Their families transformed. Business people. Friends, God is doing things that we've never seen done before. And so we thank the Lord for these opportunities. We, a few years ago, and this is, sounds kind of crazy, but the Chinese government came to us and said, we want to publish books of your messages. We write basically messages to people about life and all of the issues of life, every area of life, marriage, parenting, success, business, but then it all comes down to Jesus at the end. Mm-hmm. He is the answer to ultimately every problem we have.
Yes,
amen?
Yes.
And the Chinese government said, we want to publish these. Long story short, we published 3 books in China that now are being used in universities across China, spreading the gospel and the word of Jesus. Many students wrote us. They said, we were ready to commit suicide. But we got your book and God set us free. Amen. So friend, this is the hour that we are living in. Thank you for enabling us to plant the seed that then spreads and grows. And how many know establishing the church everywhere is not an option? How we do it is. Mm-hmm. And God is giving us new ways of doing it to multiply the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that we are able to. How many know God has sent the church to populate the new earth that is to come, mm-hmm, with eternal lives that were changed by the power of the gospel, that will walk the new earth because we reached them in time. Amen?
Yes.
And that's what he sent us.
Yes.
Thank you for enabling us to be your daily voice to the unreached on every continent. We love you. We thank you with all of our hearts. God richly bless you.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jan and Iris. It is a great privilege for us to be able to partner with hardworking, diligent missionaries. Could you say amen? And we're so grateful for your faithfulness in tithing and giving to missions that enables our church to partner. And thank you so much for all of the wonderful blessings. May the Lord bless you richly in this new season. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Well, stand together, everybody, please, and let's sing together before we get back into the preaching of the word today. I'll just have to say this morning, I don't usually say this from the pulpit, but I will just have to say, rats. The Lord sent Pastor Bob back, and here he is. All right. Are we glad to have him back today? Could you say amen? All right, all right. Let's worship the Lord together, and then let's get ready to go to John chapter 3 together in our Bibles. Heidi, come and lead us, please.
You see this mountain hill being moved. You see these chains will never break. But they don't know you like do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power. Power in your name. Move the immovable, break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe.
Let's look to the Word of God together, please. John chapter 3. We're coming today to our fourth and final lesson in this study through the life of Nicodemus. Everybody say Nicodemus, the man in John chapter 3 who came to Jesus by night to find out more about Jesus. How many of you know when you start investigating Jesus, you might find more than you bargained for? And Nicodemus was looking at a miracle worker. He would find a Savior and a Lord. And Jesus would teach Nicodemus such powerful truths that night that ultimately it would change his life forever. We've examined this story upside down and backward over the last several weeks. Our first lesson examined why Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He was perhaps afraid of his peers. He didn't want to be known as a Jesus follower, at least not until he found out some more information. He was a religious leader. He was a religious ruler. He was a member of the Pharisees. He was an important figure in his time, a teacher of the Word of God. He didn't want to commit until he knew a little better about Jesus. So he came to Jesus at night. Our second lesson a few Sunday mornings examined the new birth as Jesus explained the new birth, what it means to be born again. How many in the house today, you know today you have been born again through a relationship with Jesus Christ? Say amen. And in that second lesson, Jesus explained the new birth that takes place as we trust in the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit does a work of powerful transformation in our lives. Last Sunday morning, as we came together, we examined the third lesson as Jesus predicted his life-giving death. This message Jesus gives to Nicodemus just sort of keeps moving and growing as you move through the passage. And revelation just keeps unfolding from the Lord Jesus. This morning we're going to examine the fourth lesson. I've entitled it today, Jesus Gives Nicodemus the Final Verdict. The Final Verdict. Let's look, we'll read the entire passage this morning, beginning at chapter 3, verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. How can a man be born when he is old? Nicodemus asked. Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born. Jesus answered, I tell you the truth. No one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus, and do you not understand these things? I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done done through God. How many of you would testify with me today that every good thing you've ever accomplished in life has been done through God? Say amen. Well, today we come to this final lesson as we examine this man named Nicodemus. A man who was steeped in religion, but had a hunger for God that drove him to Jesus. Now, we could criticize Nicodemus all day long, but let me tell you, there was something about this man named Nicodemus that compelled him to move toward Jesus. And can I tell you this morning that much of our spiritual growth in life takes place when we develop a hunger for more of God. How many of you know this world has many things to try to satisfy us, but nothing can truly satisfy the deepest cravings of our hearts other than a relationship and a work of God? And Nicodemus was hungry. He was steeped in religion. He was a teacher of the Word of God. He had been through all of the ritualistic religion that anybody could imagine, but he saw something. Come across the streets of Jerusalem, walking across the streets of Jerusalem. And when he saw Jesus, he said, that might be what I'm looking for. And his hunger caused him to go to Jesus at night and begin the work of investigation. By the end of the story, we've tracked it down sort of on the backside of your outline. Don't go there now. But let me just tell you that by the end of the story in the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, we find Nicodemus helping with the burial of Jesus, helping Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' body down from the cross. What started in the darkness came out into the light. For Nicodemus, it was a process, no doubt, but Nicodemus's life would be changed by the power and the truth of Jesus Christ. So this morning, I want to just sort of, with our first section here this morning, I want to review the story thus far, the friendly visit with Jesus. And then we'll come to the new territory that we examined this morning, the final verdict from Jesus. And that final verdict begins with one of the most precious verses in all of the New Testament. For God so loved the world, you can say it with me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting. I see we got a bunch of King James people in the house today. We could have everlasting life. Let's examine first then this visit between Jesus and Nicodemus. We note that Nicodemus was captivated by Jesus. Verse 1 says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi. Notice, he calls Jesus, he uses a title of respect for Jesus. Most of the religious leaders had no respect for Jesus, but Nicodemus had the heart of God, I believe, and he noticed, and he used a title of respect, Rabbi. We know you're a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him. Nicodemus had made several conclusions about Jesus. He had concluded that the miracles Nicodemus was performing were divine in nature, that Jesus was performing. Nicodemus had concluded that Jesus was a miracle worker who had come from God. That's a big statement to make, isn't it? Especially when we understand that the Jewish people were looking at every moment for their Messiah to come. And I'm confident in my own opinion this morning that Nicodemus probably was wondering. I say I'm confident, then I say probably. But how many of you know what I'm talking about? I'm pretty confident that Nicodemus was thinking in his own heart, this could very well be the Messiah that we've been waiting for. And he marked out Jesus as somebody very special, and his attention was captivated by Jesus. Enough that he would take the risk to go and meet with Jesus at night. Wow. I believe electricity filled the air that night as Nicodemus walked into the presence of the Son of the living God. Remember what John the apostle wrote in the earlier part of his gospel? John said, the Word became flesh, Jesus, and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only one who has come from the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe that glory, that grace, that truth was on full display in the nighttime when Nicodemus came to meet with Jesus. And then the conversation began. And as they meet together, Nicodemus was confronted by Jesus. Now, how many of you know confrontation can be a thing of love? And this confrontation was not a rebuke to Nicodemus. It was a stirring of Nicodemus. Nicodemus, again, was steeped in so much religion, he needed somebody to dust the edges off and to stir up those things on the inside of Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus, having known the Word of God, would have known the greatest commandment in the Bible, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Nicodemus would have known that. He could have quoted that. But he needed something to stir all of that up, to cause his spirit and his thinking to become aware of what this new thing was that Jesus wanted to do. And Nicodemus was confronted by Jesus with two primary truths. Here they are. Number one, there's a new life to be lived. A new life. Jesus said in John 3, Jesus declared, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is what? Unless he is what? Born again. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. Right there from the start, Jesus reveals to Nicodemus there's a new life to be lived by being born again into the kingdom of God. And whatever Nicodemus was experiencing through his Old Testament religion, he was not experiencing kingdom living. Why? Because he didn't know the king. Jesus was coming as the king sent by God. And Jesus says there's a new life to be lived in the kingdom. You can be born again. Nicodemus says, well, how can that be? How can a person be born again? Can he go back into mama's womb? We discussed that at length a few Sundays ago. How many of you know that's not a possibility? How many of you know if we were willing, mama would not be willing? Nicodemus said, how can this be? And Jesus said, no, I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You shouldn't be surprised that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus responds, well, how in the world can this be? So Jesus says there's a brand new life to be lived. It's lived by being born again. It's a new life birthed by the work of the Spirit of God. And it's a new life blowing in the Spirit as well. So the Holy Spirit works this rebirth that transforms us from the inside out. And then the Holy Spirit comes to fill that brand new life. And the Holy Spirit is moving us about in brand new ways. Jesus said the wind is mysterious and the moving of the Holy Spirit is mysterious. As the Holy Spirit takes charge like the wind of a brand new born again believer, that new life moves in surprising directions. How many of you know when someone has lived their whole life for the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the Holy Spirit comes to live and to move and to guide and to direct, how many of you know the changes in a life can absolutely be astonishing? As the Holy Spirit begins to move, because we were walking in one direction, but the Holy Spirit blows us around in an altogether different direction. And then he begins to stir us and change us and inspire us and invigorate us. And the Holy Spirit does more in us than we could have ever imagined. And it becomes evident that it's a brand new life altogether with a brand new life-giving source. How many of you are glad today to have the Holy Spirit living inside of you as a child of God? Say amen. That Holy Spirit gives us that brand new life as we trust in Jesus. So Jesus says there's a new life to be lived and there's a new Lord to be listened to. Listen to what Jesus says in verse 10. You're Israel's teacher, said Jesus. Don't you understand these things? I tell you the truth. We speak of what we know. We testify to what we've seen. But still you people, you religious people, you don't accept our testimony. I've spoken to you of earthly things and you don't believe. How will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Jesus says there's a new life and there's a new Lord. And who's the new Lord? It's Jesus come onto the scene. This is God's Messiah. Come into the world. Come onto the scene. There's a new Lord to be listened to. And Jesus then becomes, for Nicodemus and for us, the speaking Lord. Jesus says, I'm the one who has come down from heaven. And I know my business. How many of you know, we don't know everything about heaven. We read in the script, we have some information, we have information from the scriptures about heaven. And you know what? Nicodemus knew far less about heaven than we do as New Testament believers. We don't know everything about heaven, but guess who does? Jesus, the one who came down from heaven. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, I'm the one who came down from heaven. If you want to talk about spiritual things and heavenly things, if you want to talk about God things, I am the source of that information. I'm the speaking Lord. And aren't you glad Jesus came to tell us? Yeah. Jesus didn't keep the information to himself. He came to reveal the truth to us. I'm the speaking Lord. And Jesus says, I'm also the self-sacrificing Lord. And the payment that will enable this new birth to take place will be my death on the cross as I'm lifted up on a pole like the snake, like Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. I love this story because it just comes to one chapter after another, just one page after another opens up before us. Jesus has already said there's a new birth. There's a new wind blowing, a new power of the Spirit that you can live by. And now Jesus says, all this is going to come about because I'm going to take care, Jesus says, I'm going to take care of the sin problem that keeps you from being able to enter into the kingdom of God and live the life God wants you to live. This born again life, this new life in the Spirit, these kingdom benefits, they were all outside of our realm of permission. We couldn't get to that because the wall of sin separated us from God. But Jesus now says, I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to be lifted up on the cross, and everybody who looks and believes in me can have eternal life because your sins will be forgiven as you trust in the sacrifice that I'm going to make. We said a couple of Sundays ago that when Jesus spoke those words to Nicodemus about being lifted up on a pole, it would only be maybe a couple or 3 years until that prophecy was fulfilled. And Nicodemus, think about this. Jesus prophesied that to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus saw that prophecy fulfilled with his own eyes. He saw Jesus hanging on that cross. He assisted with taking the body of Jesus down from that cross. Think about the level of confidence that Nicodemus must have had in Jesus when he looked at Jesus that day hanging on the cross and said within himself, Jesus told me in the nighttime a couple of years ago that this was going to be the case. And here it is, right before my eyes. Think about that. And so Jesus is revealing himself and his truth to Nicodemus in this visit. Then we come to our final section of scripture tonight. And it's not tonight. It was night then, at night. How many of you know it's not night yet, no matter how long of a preacher you think I am? It's still morning. We find the final verdict that Jesus gives to Nicodemus that night. And Jesus reveals two primary truths to him. And one, Jesus says to Nicodemus, I am God's only son. I'm the one who's come from God. Remember, we talked a little bit a few Sundays ago about that messianic secret that some people talk about all the time, claiming that Jesus was trying to hide his identity from Jesus. I take issue with that. I say Jesus was telling people all over the place, I'm the Son of God. I have come to save. I have come to seek and to save those who are lost. I have come as your Lord and your Redeemer. I want you to know, if Jesus wanted to keep his identity secret, he could have done it by hiding out in the basement for 3 years. Are you hearing me? But he chose to work miracles and preach powerful messages, and even on occasions like this, to declare his own identity to the people to whom he was ministering. And Jesus reveals to Nicodemus, I am God's only son. We see it here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is God's expression of extravagant love. God so loved the world. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad for that? As Holly quoted this morning, while we were still sinners, God loved us and sent Jesus to be our Savior. God loved us in the middle of our mess. So much. Jesus then becomes God's expression of extravagant love. He loved us so much, he was willing to send his own son. And Jesus is God's entry into everlasting life. Jesus said, God loved the world. He gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life. Jesus is the way. Jesus would say, will say, if we were to move forward into the Gospel of John chapter 14, we would hear Jesus say these words, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That passage, John 14, started out with those words we heard in the funeral service yesterday when Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many rooms. I'm going to prepare a place for you. When Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me, he's saying, and no one's going to get to the Father's house except through me as well. I'm the way, I'm the ticket. Jesus is the only way to everlasting life. Friends, listen to me. We're living in a world today where all kinds of teaching is moving about and moving around. Everybody wants to say this, that, and the other about how to get to, everybody goes to heaven. They say, there are all kinds of things going around, but Jesus made it very clear. If you want to get to heaven, you've got to go through me, says Jesus. He's the only answer. He's the only one who died for our sins. He's the only one who paid that price. He's the only one who has that inside information. Jesus, God's only begotten Son, is our ticket to heaven. Hallelujah. How many of you got the ticket in your hand today? Say amen. Yeah, thank the Lord. And so Jesus says, I am God's only Son, and I am God's only Savior. And we see Jesus declaring that he was sent to summon and to save. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So Jesus puts forth two questions here this morning, and they are these. Will you be sentenced for your sins? Or will you be saved by the Son of God? It's your choice. Will you believe in Jesus? I'm preaching to the choir this morning. I know that in this 8:30 service, almost, if not everybody, almost everybody in the house today would believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that he died for your sins and rose again from the dead, and he is your Lord. And how many of you are determined to follow Jesus all the way home to heaven? Say amen. So it's our choice, Jesus says. Will you be sentenced for your sins or will you be saved by the Son? He's the only answer. Jesus was sent to summon and to save. Sent into this world. That's why we partner with missionaries all around the world. I minister primarily to the saints here in the house of God. Our missionaries reach out. They are the evangelists of Ephesians chapter 4 that we examined this past Wednesday night. The missionaries are the evangelists who take the gospel of Jesus to the world around about us. Those who maybe have not even heard the name of Jesus or maybe have never received a clear presentation of the good news of Jesus Christ. We thank God for the truth that we have. And we're interested and invested in getting this good news out to the world. Would you say amen? Amen. So Jesus has come to summon and to save. And ultimately, this is the final verdict. Jesus will serve to sort and to separate. Look at it in verse 19. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light. Because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. So Jesus makes it plain here. Some will love the light and some will decide for darkness. It's a decision we make. Sometimes we wonder, well, why won't my family members follow Jesus? Why won't they come and give their lives to Jesus? Jesus gives us a clear answer here. Some will hate the darkness. Some will love the darkness and hate the light because they want to continue on in their sinning. Herb Chapman is back there. I quote Herb every once in a while. Herb sometimes hands me these little quotations. This is one I'll never forget. I've quoted many times. Herb said to me one time after a sermon, maybe 20 some years ago, Herb gave me a little slip of paper with this statement. A sinning man will stop praying. And a praying man will stop sinning. Now think about that. There's a lot of wisdom in that. If you're bent on your sins, you'll probably just draw away from the Lord altogether. Because how many of you know light and darkness cannot exist in the same room? Light and darkness can't really exist in the same life. And so Jesus said, you're either going to love the darkness or you're going to love the light. Now you thought this was a message today just for unbelief. This is a message for the lost today. I hope there's somebody lost there this morning. No, this is a message for the saved as well today. Do you love the light? Are you willing to come out of the darkness into the light? And if you're a lover of the light, don't let darkness creep back into your soul and into your being. Are you here this morning? I promise you, if you get entangled up in a life of sin, you'll begin to draw away from your relationship with the Lord altogether. A sinning man will stop praying. But if you'll turn around and get to God and start praying, a praying man will stop sinning. And your relationship with the Lord, wherever you are today, I want to encourage you this morning to grab hold of the love and the light of God and live for the Lord with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. The final verdict is this. You will make your own decision about Jesus, and you will either choose Jesus or you will choose the darkness and the wickedness of this world. There is no in between. And we say this morning, let's choose Jesus and live. Could you say amen? Let's live the born again life with every fiber of our being. Amen. Here are the right responses. Number one, be a bold believer. If you're going to believe in Jesus, believe with all of your might. How many of you know Jesus is the Son of the living God? Say amen. How many believe with me this morning that Jesus died on the cross for your sins and his death is enough? Say amen. How many of you believe Jesus rose again from the dead and is our living Lord? Say amen. How many of you believe Jesus reigns and rules as King and Lord in heaven today? Say amen. How many of you believe Jesus is coming again someday? Say hallelujah. If you're going to be a believer in Jesus, be a bold believer. Believe with everything in you. Learn, study and learn and get to know God more and more. Dig into his word and fill your life with the knowledge of God through the scriptures and the work of the Holy Spirit and be a bold believer. Number two, be a lover of light. And understand, I want to urge everybody in the house today, don't look too long at the darkness of this world. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your... If you're gonna focus anywhere, focus on Jesus and be a lover of light. That's more challenging every day in the world in which we're living. So much around us would try to steal our attention, and so much of it is darkness and not light. That's why we need to be determined to keep our focus and our attention and our affections fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep looking unto Jesus and follow him all the way home. Amen. Be a bold disciple. Be a lover of light. And three, be surrendered to the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit, who has birthed you into this new life in Jesus, wants to blow you around like the wind. What an exciting life. I can only imagine. I have been stationed here in Jefferson City for the entire tenure of my ministry. There have been many exciting days, and I thank God for that privilege. There's no privilege, I believe, like the privilege of being able to be stationed here with the family of God and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus together. I'm so thankful for that. But I can only imagine what it's like to be a missionary somewhere on the other side of the world, where the Holy Spirit is blowing you and moving you around to this, that, and the other. There's lots of opportunity for that in Jefferson City as well. Don't you believe it? But what a joy it must be just to put up your sails to the winds of the Spirit. Oh, Jan and Iris, I pray that in your work, you're in a season of itineration now for the next many months. I pray the Holy Spirit will just blow you around like the wind. And you will be saying, oh, the Holy Spirit, I feel the wind of the Spirit at my back. Sometimes I feel a change of correction, as a change of direction, a correction in my course. I pray, Pastor Malachi, as you serve as a youth pastor in this critical age, and by the way, God is doing awesome things in our youth services and in our youth group. Pastor Malachi is a bold leader and a bold preacher, but I pray, Pastor Malachi, that more and more you will sense the blowing and the urging and the moving and the direction of the Holy Spirit. So that I pray that for all of our pastors and for all of our people, that as we're out and about in this world and in our ministries and even among the people of God, we would sense the Holy Spirit moving us around and doing his work in us and through us. How many here today, you want your life to count big time for God? Say amen. Of course we do. And so we have to surrender to the Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, blow like the wind. I set my sails before you. I want you to use me, oh God. Be a bold believer. Be a lover of life. Be surrendered to the Spirit. And fourth, you know I can't quit without this one. Be hollering hallelujahs as you head for heaven. I believe every Christian, as busy as we are working in this world and doing God's business in this world, I believe every Christian ought to be rejoicing in the prospect and the promise of everlasting life. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. God has sent me to you so that if you'll trust in me, you can have the assurance of everlasting life. I'll tell you what, living in this world becomes a whole lot more bearable when we keep our eyes on heaven. Could you say amen? And understand what's ahead for us as the children of God. I want to say to you this morning as we close this service, it is a great joy. It is the joy and the blessing of my life to have been born again, to know Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. To feel his stirring, his moving, to know God's love that has come to me through that process, to understand this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. Amen. Amen. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Say, where did he get that little poem? Oh, it's an oldie but a goodie. It's been my joy to be born again and to experience all of the richness and the blessings. And there's so much more that I want to experience. As the Apostle Paul said, I haven't arrived yet. I haven't attained or obtained all of this yet. There's still more. I'm reaching, I'm pressing. How about you? But I want you to know, it has been the great joy of my life to live in the kingdom of God. And the only way we get there is to be born into it.